Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Here for the Crack with me, Emma Neal. I hope you're all doing good. Oh my God, I went to see that new rom-com everyone's been raving about on social media. Well, not necessarily across all. I keep seeing on TikToks of people being like, oh my God, you have to go see this with your girls kind of thing, about the rom-com Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney in it. I'm one of those people that just forgets to go to the cinema. I feel like loads of, like, I remember exes that would just go to the cinema, like, with their group of mates, literally once a week at least. Like, it was just a given. They would all find a movie they all wanted to see, and that was just, like, a thing they'd do every Wednesday or Thursday night or something. And I've just never really made a habit of it. I honestly go, like, once or twice a year when if I remember to go in time to see a movie I wanted to watch. This is the thing, is that there's always ones I want to watch, but then by the time I remember to go and see them, it's like not even in cinemas anymore, and then I'm raging at myself because then you have to wait so long before it's on anything, or it might not even get onto anything, and then you just completely forget that it was ever out. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, on the rare occasion that I remember to go, and then I have the best time ever, and I'm like, I should do this more often. I should make this a weekly thing, or at least a monthly thing. And then I just repeat that process every 6 months. But yeah, I went to see Anyone But You, and it was really good. When I say it was really good for a rom-com. There's only so good a rom-com can be. It's not like an incredibly moving, emotional film. It's just like a funny rom-com. It's the rom-com scratch. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those really, like, unrealistic kind of love stories where he comes down on a helicopter and all to see her, that kind of vibe, but also funny at the same time. Like, I actually did laugh out loud quite a lot, and I feel like when a movie makes you actually laugh out loud, especially in public when you're in the cinema, that's a very good sign. So I would actually recommend it. I feel like there's so many good movies out at the minute. I'm actually going to see Paul Mescal and what's his name, Andrew Scott's new film this weekend. And I'm really excited about that because I just love both of them. And this is the thing, right? I love any successful Irish people, no matter who they are and what their profession is. I'm rooting for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a proud mother when someone in Ireland does well. And to see them too, and the way they get on in all the promo that they're doing for it and the interviews and stuff, the chemistry between them is just, they're so funny. And I'm really excited to see the movie because I just know if they're getting on like that in all the interviews, they definitely worked really well together in filming. But yeah, when I say I love them, I don't mean in like a really fangirly, like obsessed way. I mean like, oh my God, I'm a proud mother for anyone that comes out of Ireland successful. For example, I got sucked into watching The Fall again this week because last week, my boyfriend got the vomiting bug and he started not feeling well while he was at my house, and then ended up just having to stay at my house the whole time with it because he didn't want to go home and like bring it home. So fantastic for me. I was trying to dodge it like a bullet. I actually did manage to dodge it, thank God. As a result of that, he was just lying on my sofa, basically, like literally a zombie, and he stuck The Fall on because he'd never seen it before. I've already watched that series, I'm going to say 3 times. It could have been twice, but I think I've seen it 3 times and I got sucked back in for a 4th time. That's how good it is. And again, I just, you know, Jimmy Dornan, my king, my Northern Irish king. He went to the same school as me as well. Although he was slandering my school on a podcast I listened to. He did How to Feel with Elizabeth Day. And he was talking about our school and kind of giving it a bit of slander. And I backed that. I stood by everything he said. Anyway, I got sucked into watching The Fall again. And oh my God, is that a good series. You could sit there and binge that in 2 days, all 3 seasons of it. It is so good. And you know what? I will say that I'm obsessed and fangirling over is Gillian Anderson in that. She is mother. I feel like just any role Gillian Anderson plays, she's just so powerful. There's something about her energy. Oh, I love her so much. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it says a lot when a series can suck you in for a fourth time. To be fair, I feel like everyone has their shows like that, though, where they could just like watch over and over again. My Brother's is Gossip Girl. Who would have thought? That boy has watched Gossip Girl. Honestly, I think he's rewatching it for the fourth or fifth time. Crazy. I've not even seen it once. But yeah, everyone has their like comfort go-to series they can just watch again and again. You know what though? Someone commented on my, because I made a little TikTok about like going to the cinema. It was like, come to the cinema with me, and like showed my cinema snacks and stuff that I brought, which were very controversial. I'll get into that in a second. But someone commented on the TikTok saying, get an Omniplex pass, because apparently they're only a tenner a month and you get to see as many movies as you want. But like, we paid a tenner into that one film, so it's the same price as going to see one movie. I feel like that's such a good bargain. No, I feel like I'm gonna do that. Well, maybe not right now, but I think when I come back from traveling, that would be such a good thing to do, to make you go to the cinema at least once a month. Anyway, onto the controversial movie snacks. I'm definitely more of a go and get your snacks somewhere else before the film. And look, it's not even, actually, yeah, maybe it is a money thing as well. It is so expensive in the cinema. But that aside, okay, money aside, I actually just like the selection in shops better than the cinemas. Although, actually, a big, tall Pepsi Max obviously has to be done a lot of the time. And I'll not argue if someone wants to get a mix of sweet and salted popcorn and I can have a little bit, you know? But I'm not getting that to myself, because I will literally eat the whole pack and feel sick within the first 2 minutes before the movie's even started. But yeah, I like to go and get a little selection, okay? So this was my snacks of choice for the cinema. Actually, I didn't go out and get these for the cinema. I had them in my house and I thought, this is a perfect combination. And that was chili garlic olives in a little Tupperware box. Truffle crisps. If you haven't tried them, you need to. Kombucha. And there was something else. Oh, then my friend Aoife, she brought like the little protein ball things from a place in Belfast called Juice Jar, which are so good. They go down very nicely with the coffee. That's the other thing I brought. I brought a flask of coffee, which was amazing. So I had my olives and my truffle crisps and my kombucha as like my starters. And then my dessert was my coffee and my chocolate peanut butter protein bowl. Like, sorry, that is elite to me, but I know other people will think that's crazy. I honestly felt like I was in a restaurant, eating my little truffle crisps and my olives. I thought I was in an Italian restaurant. I just love truffle anything though. I feel like truffle is one of those things you either love it or you absolutely hate it. And if you love it, you will order it no matter what it's on. Like, if there's just truffle on something on a menu, you'll get it no matter what the other options are. Do you know what I mean? And also, if there's ever like a truffle flavor or something, you always get it. Whereas if you don't, like, my dad hates truffle. And if you even order like a truffle pasta or something and it comes to the table, he can't even stand the smell of it, which is wild to me because it's actually so good. But what else did I? Oh, I was in this little deli last week and I found this truffle hot sauce. Now, I've only tried this truffle hot sauce once before when it was like in a sandwich. And I remember looking at the bottle like on the counter in the sandwich shop and thinking, oh, I must remember to try and find that somewhere like on Amazon or something. Completely forgot about it and then happened to be in this deli and saw it in their shop and straight away bought it. And we actually put it in our burgers that night and had like truffle smash burgers with smoky vegan cheese. Oh my god, sensational. We're actually having them again tonight because, you know, when you buy a pack of burger baps and it comes in four, so I thought, you know what, let's have another burger night. So I'm gonna do them again and I'm gonna film the recipe with the truffle sauce, and you have to get it if you're a truffle lover, that is. Oh my god, that's so weird. My friend just messaged me that I was at the cinema with to say I told my boyfriend about those crisps you brought to the cinema and he went and got them today and demolished them in 2 seconds. If you don't know, get to know. What else have I been up to? Oh, I finished my book club book. Wait, had I finished that the last time? No, I think I was nearing it. Yeah, I finished my book club book, Americana, obsessed. Like, actually loved it from start to finish. A couple of people messaged me saying they thought it was a little bit slow. I think I just really enjoyed it because it was a different perspective from what I normally read. I think in the Western world, we're so used to always having this like one narrative and always reading things from that one perspective. And to read a book that was told in a Nigerian woman's perspective and like of her story coming and her experience of coming to America and then living elsewhere, like, I don't know, I just thought it was so good. And it was very eye-opening, and I really want to read more books that are of different perspectives like that, because I just think it's really important. And there's just so many little things that you would never think about and I think are really important to know and to be aware of. And it's obviously a really good way to get that through a fictional book as well. Do you know what I mean? Because then it's an enjoyable story at the same time. But yeah, I gave it 5 stars. I honestly think it's up there with my top books ever. So highly recommend. I've moved on to a book now called Blackout. What's the full name of it? I think it's called Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget. It's basically this girl, the author, Sarah Coppola, I think her name. I can't really remember. Anyway, the author, Sarah, it's like a memoir and it's kind of her story about her relationship with alcohol and I think eventual then sobriety. We haven't got to that part just yet. I just figured I would read something along those lines while I'm doing dry Jan. I think it's good to read something like that when you're in that mindset. Do you know what I mean? Because you can read, like, say, for example, I used to read this book in summertime when I'm like in my full party girl era, like drinking a few times a week. Well, actually, I don't think I ever drink a few times a week, but do you know what I mean? Just not really thinking about that. If I was to sit down and read a book like that, it just wouldn't sit well with me. Not that it wouldn't sit well, but it wouldn't have the same effect on me that it would have reading it now. So this time last year, I read the Sober Girl Society Handbook, and then I thought this year I'd read something along those lines as well. But yeah, I'm actually really enjoying it so far. It's not too long and it is good. I wouldn't rant and rave about it, but it's good and I wanted to read something like that. But yeah, I haven't decided what next month's book club book is gonna be. I think I'm gonna pick like 2 or 3 and then put them in the channel chat thing and let people vote. But yeah, if you have any good book suggestions for the book club, send them my way. Oh, I'm actually getting my vaccines tomorrow for going traveling. I only need like a couple of top ups because I obviously got them from when I first went traveling, which was so long ago now though. Like when I rang the doctors to ask what I would need and if it was just like one dose of them or if I'd need to come back and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, I got them. Like basically everything in my head is 4 years ago. I think COVID has done this to all of us, but everything in my head is 4 years ago no matter what it was. And then when I rang the doctors to tell them this, they were like, and when would you have got the last ones? And I said, oh yeah, about 4 years ago. And then I was actually like, wait, no, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. Fucking hell, that's ages ago. But anyway, I actually still only need the top ups, like the one round of them. So I'm getting all 3 of them in one tomorrow. I think it's like tetanus, typhoid, and either hepatitis A or B. I can't remember which one. I'll let you know how it goes next week. I'm not getting rabies this time, which I don't know if that's a stupid decision, but apparently there's been like no cases of rabies. So it's not that essential. Anyway, I stay well clear of the monkeys. Like, see, when you see tourists trying to feed the monkeys and give them their water and their Coke cans and food and trying to get them to crawl up their arms, that is my worst nightmare. Those monkeys are evil and they can stay far, far away from them. And I'll take a nice photo of them from afar. I'm not even going to take a nice photo of them. They're not nice. They're horrible. Well, sometimes you do see the nice ones, but see like the really angry, evil ones, the macaques. Oh, they terrify me. And the rabies shot doesn't actually prevent you from getting rabies. I think it buys you a bit of extra time to get to the hospital. I'm not actually 100% sure. Please don't take my medical advice on anything. I actually don't know what I'm talking about. But I have made the decision to not get it, even though I did for my first trip. We'll see how that goes. I'll report back if I get rabies. Actually, I won't report back because I wouldn't be here if that would be the case. Let's do pit and peak of the week. My pit of this week... I swear to God, anytime I talk about the fact that my skin's really good at the minute, then next thing, bam. Right, so this is the thing. If I have a really good skin period, I'm like, oh my God, I have sussed it all out. I've got to a really good place in my skin. I can eat whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. And next thing, I'll eat a load of like sugary stuff. And look, I know sugar doesn't affect loads of people and that would never be an issue for some. But for me, sugar really affects my skin and I'll really see it. Now, not to the point that like I can't have a couple of pieces of fruit a day or I can't have a Trek bar after my dinner or something like that. It's not to that level. It's more like if I make a habit of eating sweet things and like wee treats all the time every day and like with my coffee every day, like always having something sweet and like then having dessert with my dinner and everything. If I make a habit of it like that, I will really see it in my skin, which is such a shame because I mean, doesn't everyone want to demolish loads of sweet treats all the time? I wish I could. So anyway, last week I went to my favorite bakery and I made it on the day. They do a lot of vegan things on a Thursday and I went on a Thursday because I normally don't make it on a Thursday. And As much as it was amazing to go on a Thursday, I get really overwhelmed because everything's vegan and I'm like, what do I want? I have to get everything. I have to get one or two of everything and I freak out and I buy it all. And I spent like 20 quid in this bakery and I finished everything within the space of less than 48 hours, which is so unnecessary. Like, one person does not need to consume £20 worth of baked goods from a bakery within the space of 48 hours. But I literally have no self-control when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, if there's vegan baked goods there, you can bet I am getting it all and eating it all. So yeah, that's what happened. And then my skin broke out so bad from it. But then also my peak of the week was getting all my vegan baked goods. So, you know, the good comes with the bad. Is that the phrase? That's definitely not the phrase. I'm definitely butchering another phrase here. But yeah, it's a double-edged sword. But the peak of my week was numbing vegan pan of chocolates with coffee every day. Well, actually not every day, for 2 days, multiple times in those 2 days though. Like, I am just such a whore for a good baked good. There is nothing quite like it. Little baked good and a coffee and I am good to go. Like, I'm the happiest little girl in the world. It is crazy what something so small can do for your happiness. But yeah, I've been suffering the consequences of that this week, unfortunately. I need to reel in the sugar, unfortunately. Because this is the thing, when you get in the habit of eating sugary things, then you crave it more because you're like fully addicted to sugar, do you know what I mean? But then if you get out of the habit of it and then just turn all your snacks into savory snacks, then you don't tend to crave them as much. So I've been trying to just like, I've honestly just been eating my body weight in olives now instead. Olives and what else? Grapes and vegan cheese, that's a good one. A good go-to snack. I love a good rye vita with peanut butter. God, I don't know. I need snack suggestions desperately and like non-sugary snack suggestions. And I don't even mean that in a like snacks have to be healthy kind of way. I genuinely just mean because when I'm addicted to sugar, my skin gets really bad and it's just something I have to be wary of. I genuinely don't mean this whatsoever in a way of like in a toxic way of eating or like, you know, trying to restrict or anything like that. It is nothing to do with that. I eat my 3 meals a day with my snacks in between, my bedtime snacks and everything, but I just have to always be sure I'm not eating too much sugar, unfortunately, for my skin. Anyway, let's move on to words of the week. You guys seem to enjoy my affirmation, my positive affirmation that I did last week, which I'm so glad of. So I figured I'd do another little one this week. This is something I try and tell myself every day because I think it's just a really nice habit to get into and kind of shifts your mindset a little bit. And it is, repeat after me, it's so short, I believe in myself. It's so simple. But I don't know, there's something about it. Like, you know, if you wake up and you're just not in the best headspace, or you maybe are feeling a little bit of imposter syndrome, or you're scared for your upcoming exams, or feeling like a bit out of place in work or whatever it is, just tell yourself, I believe in myself. You got to believe in yourself. Otherwise, who's going to believe in you? You got to be the person that backs you. Okay, let's get into this week's podcast topic. I'm going to tell you, finally, all about my evening routine. When I did my episode on my morning routine, I got so many of you asking if I could also talk about my evening routine. And at that point, I had not established a good evening routine. So I wanted to wait until I had really worked on that and properly established a good evening routine that set me up for a good sleep and then that ultimately sets you up for a good morning routine as well. Like, the two are so correlated, it's kind of hard to have one without the other. Especially when you're a sleep dependent, as I am. The thing is about nighttime routines is that I really have to consciously stick at them. Like, it doesn't come very naturally to me. I think I'm naturally a bit of a night owl. Like, I think if you put me to my own devices, I definitely would be a night owl. But just because I want to be able to get up early and like get everything done, then obviously you need to have some sort of structure in place to make yourself go to bed at a decent time. Like, I remember in school, I would honestly stay up till 3 or 4 a.m. every night and then go to school like a zombie, like falling asleep in classes on my free periods. I'd just be like falling asleep on the rack and then I'd come home and nap and then go to dance. Like, I was just constantly tired. I was a tired little bean all the time and it was all due to my terrible sleeping routine. And since coming out of school, it's always been something I've like battled with. But I definitely think I'm so much better now. And I think uni helped me a lot because it just forced me to have to get into a good routine with, you know, well, at nighttime and in the morning. I was not someone that would skip an early morning lecture, as I know lots of people are. I don't know, that actually used to give me so much anxiety, missing a class. But yeah, you definitely go through, like, well, me anyway, I definitely go through phases where I'm like better at it than others. And like, for example, in December there, I found it really difficult. Like, I felt like I was getting into a really good way of it before December, and then December came along, and December just fucks everything up. Like, as fun as December is, and that Christmas period, and like getting to see everyone and the festivities and all that, as fun as that is, it honestly does fuck up everything else that's going on in your life. Like, it fucks your morning routine, it fucks your evening routine, it fucks your workout routine, your social calendar is crazy, your social battery's fucked. Like, it just messes with everything. And I think that's part of the reason I was so excited to get into January, was just to kind of recalibrate and work on all these things again. And I feel like I've now got to a point where I can talk about my evening routine and what's been working for me. Now, as I said in my morning routine episode, this is obviously one of those things you have to just adjust to fit you. Like, not everything is going to suit and work for everyone. Everyone has completely different lifestyles and circumstances and body clocks and everything that, you know, different times you need to wake up at, different times you need to go to sleep at, different lengths of times you need to sleep for, like, what is your kind of optimal sleep time? People have kids that need to be factored into their nighttime routine and their activities and getting them to bed. So, you know, obviously this is very catered to me, and this is what I've worked out works for me, but that's not to say it's going to work for you. And unfortunately, it is one of those things where you do just have to like test and try different things. So for example, like I said, with the morning routine, not everyone wants to get up and work out. Do you know what I mean? In fact, some people wake up and they don't have any energy until, I don't know, they'll get like a burst of energy at like 2 p.m. and then it works for them better to work out in the evenings or something like that. And you're only going to work those things out by trying different things. And that's what I've done in order to see what works for me with my nighttime routine. I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that by the time they get to bed, they're completely knackered and don't need to think about a nighttime routine. They just go straight to sleep. But there's also, I know loads of people out there that struggle with that. And as I said, it doesn't really come naturally to me to sleep early. So it's something I really have to, like, I really need to make a conscious effort to make sure I'm properly winding down and not stimulating my brain, or, you know, falling down a 3-hour TikTok hole or anything like that. So yeah, with that being said, let's get into my evening routine. So currently I'm trying to make sure I go to a class of some sort every night, because I feel like it gives me a point in the day where that's it. That has to be me done. Finish my work. Time to clock off. Otherwise I can have a real tendency to just like continue on until 10 o'clock and then be like, what the fuck am I doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, why am I sitting here editing at 10 o'clock? There's no need for this. So I think just like knowing in my brain that I have a class booked for 7 o'clock or whatever it is, gives me an end goal, an end time to work towards. And not only that, but I find if I do a class in the evening and I've also done some sort of exercise in the morning, may that be a slow walk or, I don't know, it could have been a 10-minute run or a gym workout, whatever it is, I find if I do both forms of those in the morning and in the evening, I am knackered by the time I'm going to bed. Like, I'm really ready for bed. I always find on days where I don't exercise, I'm like, it's like you've got that itch that you haven't scratched and you're just not ready to settle down. Like, you haven't exerted that energy. And I really feel that when I haven't exercised. Also, a lot of the evening classes I go to will be very kind of like slow wind down style yoga. For example, the one I went to last night was mellow and mindful yoga, and it's just a very slow flow, dimly lit room, candles lit, really relaxing music. Like, I come home and I am very much ready for bed. So that's been something that's really been helping me get into my evening routine and kind of kick it off. And the way that I make sure that I do that is, when it comes to Sunday or Monday, I will just book them all for the week. And the reason I do that is because, so I started off by doing that when I got my yoga membership. And then when December came around, I stopped doing that so much because I was kind of in the mindset of, oh, I don't really know what's happening this week. Like, my diary's a bit all over the place. I don't know who's going to be home, who I'm going to want to socialize with, if I'm going to be too tired to go to this or that. So what I ended up doing was waiting until the days to book them. And what actually ended up happening, honestly, about 90% of the time was that it would get to like, say, 6-7 o'clock, and I'd be like, no, you know what? I haven't got everything finished that I want to get finished, or I'm too tired for this tonight, or I could do with a night off, or whatever it is. I'd make up all these excuses for myself and I'd end up not booking the class. And look, I get it's really important to have your nights off. And if you feel it in your body that you need to chill, to just chill and let yourself chill and not feel the pressure to do anything, I 100% get that. However, the majority of those times was not because I needed to chill. It was because I was just making excuses for myself because I didn't have the class booked. And also because I didn't have the class booked, I wasn't then getting my stuff done before the class. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if I know I've got the class booked, I will work towards getting my stuff done. So it's kind of like a double whammy effect. So the best thing for me 100% is to just get them all booked. I usually do it on like a Monday afternoon or something, and I'll just get them all booked for the rest of the week. And then it also means you're not risking any of them being booked out and stuff as well, because I know lots of the popular classes can book out. What that currently looks like for me at the moment, now this changes all the time depending on, I get very hyper fixated on things, so you know my interests kind of go towards different things, but at the moment what that kind of looks like for me is 2 evening dance classes, 2 yoga classes, or a yoga class and a Pilates class, or even 2 yoga classes and a Pilates class if I decide to do a Friday evening one as well, but that just depends whether I've got Friday night plans or not. Now, the one downside of all these different classes is that, no, I love having the variation of classes, so I actually wouldn't change that for the world. However, the one downside of that is that they are all at different times, so there isn't really a routine in terms of the time I get in and therefore like what time I'm eating dinner and stuff. And I'm really trying to work out what is better, because there's times I get home from dance and it's 10 o'clock and obviously you don't want to be sitting down to eat dinner at 10:30. Do you know what I mean? That's like, that's taking it a bit too far. But then at the same time, every time I eat before dance, I regret it so much and I feel sick and I feel like I can't move the same. So I'm always trying to get my timings right for dinner. And this is where I think meal prep comes in really handy and is something, I know I spoke about how my goals for 24 was to get better at doing like meal prep and just like batch cooking a dinner on a Monday and also batch cooking like a soup or something that I can have for lunches. I have stuck to my making a soup a week, but I've stupidly been leaving it till like a Thursday to make my soup and then having it throughout the weekend, whereas I feel like I should be doing it on a Monday to just like make my life easier for the week. But yeah, I need to start the batch cooking for dinner as well so I don't have this problem so much. But generally speaking, if the class is like 6, 6:30, 7, I'll eat after because I'll get home around 8 and I don't mind eating then. If the class is after that though, let's say 7:30, 8:30, then I'll try and eat before, but you obviously just need to make sure you're eating well in advance before the class, otherwise you'll just spend the whole time feeling horrible. Maybe not so much with the yoga classes, but like definitely in the dance classes. Like last night, my boyfriend actually came to yoga with me and we didn't get back. We had to stop at the shop on the way home to get something for our dinner, so we didn't get back till quite late. And then by the time we put everything on, we weren't actually sitting down to eat until 10 o'clock. Which is probably not the best habit to get into, going to bed absolutely stuffed. Although I kind of like that feeling of going to bed stuffed. I don't know. It's definitely not ideal. Anyway, regardless, so if I've not eaten dinner, I'll obviously come home from the class and eat dinner. If I have eaten dinner, I still come home and eat something. My go-to kind of like before bed snack, this is my obsession at the moment, is the Alpro coconut yogurt with my mum's homemade granola, raspberries or blueberries, actually, or both. Yeah, that's it. Just my mum's homemade granola is so good. I'm obsessed with it. I actually need to go get more off of her, or I might try and make my own. Yeah, maybe I should just try and make my own. And coconut yogurt is just like top tier. There is no beating that. Also, I like to watch something when I'm eating my food. And when I say I like to watch something, I don't mean I like to sit down and watch a whole movie or even a whole episode. I like to just like find a little YouTube video that has come up on my recommendations. Let's say, for example, a Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott interview that is 8 minutes long. Do you know what I mean? Like those kinds of vibes, or like a chicken shop date episode, something like that that's like 10 minutes long. I like to kind of have that on while I eat. People say you shouldn't really have distractions while you eat because you should like take your time with your food and enjoy it and properly chew your food. And like, I don't know, I am a fast eater, but trust me, I definitely enjoy my food. I do not need to worry about that. I wouldn't sit down and watch something if I was with my boyfriend. This is only if I'm on my own. After that, I usually make myself a little cup of tea. I am not really an English breakfast tea kind of girl. Now, there is the odd time I'll crave that if I'm having like, you know, a little tray bake and you want an actual cup of tea with it, I'll crave it then. However, 9 times out of 10, I am definitely more of a herbal tea, and I love trying loads of different herbal teas. The selection I have in my cupboard is wild. Like, I have a whole cupboard dedicated to teas. It is not normal. So I'll have a tea that's like, doesn't have any caffeine in it, basically. And I'll sit down. Now, this is the last time I look at any form of a screen. Actually, that's probably a bit of a lie. Actually, don't listen to a word I say. I try and make this the last time I look at a screen, but that definitely doesn't happen. However, it's definitely the last time I look at my laptop screen or any form of a big screen. So like, the TV's off, but I'll open my laptop at this point. And basically, as I said, like, I like to try and have everything done before the class, but that's not always the case. And I'll go into I use Notion to like plan my days. So I'll open that up. I'll see if there's anything I didn't get done for the day. And if there is, then I'll like drag it across to the next day. Or if there's anything I can do really quickly, let's say just like I filmed the shortest little hot drink recipe video and I can literally edit it in 2 minutes. If there's something I can just do on the spot there and then, I'll do that then, so I don't have to drag it across to the next day and then tick it off. But basically, I kind of sort out my to-do list for the next day. I'll look at my calendar, see if I've got like any appointments or anything I need to like be wary of. And then I'll kind of slot that into my day and see how my day is going to look, if you know what I mean. So I'm a bit more prepared going into the next day. It's kind of hard to describe what this looks like because obviously I can't show you my desktop screen or what my Notion looks like. But it's basically like writing out your planner. If you do like an actual physical planner in front of you, it's basically like writing out your schedule for the next day. It just makes me feel like I have a lot more mental clarity going into the next day. I don't wake up being like, oh, what the fuck's on my schedule today? What time do I have to get up at? All that kind of shit. Do you know what I mean? Now, I am definitely a morning shower person. So even though I do a class in the evening, I don't get a shower in the evening. Well, I don't tend to get showers in the evening. Now, if I have a particularly sweaty dance class, I will, because obviously the feeling of getting into bed, like feeling gross and sweaty like that, is not nice. So if that is the case, I will. However, you know, if I'm doing a slow yoga class, I'm not sweating, there's no need to be getting a shower. So I'll just save that for the morning. I like to get up, do my workout, and then shower after that and feel like ready and refreshed for the day. But there is the odd time I'll have 2 showers a day. Oh, you know what? I've missed out a key point in all this, and that's that I dim every room in my house, apart from my bathroom, but I hate the big light, and especially in evening times when I'm like trying to wind down, I do not want the big light on. So like when I come home from my class and I'm eating my snack and I'm on my laptop, and then when I come upstairs to my room and stuff, like it's always nice dim lighting. I feel like that's so key in winding down. But then maybe it defeats the purpose, because then you just go into your really brightly lit bathroom to do your skincare anyway. So that's like stimulating you. I don't know. Anyway, the only place the big light is acceptable is the bathroom. So yeah, next step is skincare. I always get changed out of the clothes I'm wearing, and I'll either put on my towel dressing gown or my fluffy dressing gown, depending on how cold it is. Actually, do you know what? I think I tend to save my towel dressing gown for when I get out of the shower and I feel nice and clean. So maybe I do always put on my fluffy one at night. I can't really remember. Anyway, then I'll do my skincare routine, which consists of, I use the Inky List cleansing balm to take off my makeup. I also love the Body Shop Chamomile cleansing butter or balm or whatever it's called. I just love a cleansing balm. I think it gets your makeup off the best. It's not harsh on dry skin, and you don't have to use like wipes or compads or anything. So I use my cleansing balm, my Inky List one, and then I'll just use like one of those reusable face pad things with water to take that off. And then I double cleanse, then I go in with my Skin and Me cleanser and I'll double cleanse with that. And then the rest of my skincare routine, it's pretty simple. I do my Skin and Me moisturizer, my Skin and Me daily doser. If I'm particularly dry, I'll use an oil over the top of it. I like the Ordinary Rosehips oil. I also like the Body Shop Vitamin E oil. I like, what's that brand called? Dr. Organic. I like their Vitamin E oil. I like the Glow Hub serums, their Barrier Builder, their Hydration Hero, and I love their Vitamin C Scar Slayer one. If I have had like a bad skin week and I've got like loads of red marks from previous spots that were on my face, I'll use the vitamin C serum. So this, you know, the kind of final step of like the oils and serums, I adjust depending on what my skin needs. If my skin is absolutely perfect, which is a rare occasion, it will literally just be the Skin of Me Daily Doser and the moisturizer. However, I do usually have to incorporate at least one, usually just one other thing actually. And then I will always use my COSRX pimple patches because, as I'm always saying, I'm always trying to get out of the habit of picking my skin. I've got so much better at it since moving house. Like, I barely pick anything anymore. And I also put this down to the COSRX pimple patches. They're so good. So the second I've done my skincare, I just put them straight on, and then I've literally no opportunity to even go in there with my nails and pick at anything. Also, a tip I find for some reason that works for me, not only to not pick, but also to just do all this faster. Because you ever find you can just end up being in your own little world when you're doing your skincare, and before you know it, you've been in your bathroom for like 45 minutes and you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Do you know what I mean? So a way I find that helps me to speed that process up is to put on a podcast. I find putting on a podcast helps me do a lot of things quicker. I don't know why that is. Like, if I put a podcast when I'm like doing my washing or cleaning the house or I don't know, just like doing some life admin, do you know what I mean? It always seems to help me focus on that thing and get it done quicker. I don't know what that says about me. And I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but I definitely find it really beneficial when I'm doing my skincare. I think maybe it could be because if it's not playing, then you get distracted more easily by other things. And then maybe you'll end up picking up your phone, and before you know it, you're 10 minutes on TikTok and they sat down again. And then 10 minutes later, you're doing the same thing. Like, I don't know. I have a very easily distracted brain. So yeah, it's a good focuser. That's not a word, is it? It's a good, yeah. And whatever it is, it helps me focus. I brush my teeth. I'm an electric toothbrush girly. If you're not, what are you doing? Like, you need to be an electric toothbrush person. Do you know what? Anytime I even go, say I go to London for a weekend, and if I just bring a normal toothbrush with me, I honestly think my teeth get so yellow in those 4 days of not having an electric toothbrush. And that's not on me not brushing my teeth properly. That's just the crazy difference between an electric toothbrush and a non-electric toothbrush. Like, the difference is insane. And people always ask me how I whiten my teeth, and I haven't whitened my teeth in... I only whitened my teeth when I first got my braces out when I was 17, around that age. I whitened them then because I wanted, like, when I got my braces off, for them to be gorgeous and straight and white. And I honestly haven't done it since, and I still to this day get questions of what I use to whiten my teeth. Now, I actually did, my boyfriend gave me some teeth whitener recently, and I keep meaning to use it. So if it works well, I will let you know what that is. I think he's got like the proper one from the dentist though or something. I'm not really sure. But anyway, it's one of those ones you put in your retainers and leave it in for like a half an hour to an hour, I think. But I just keep forgetting to do it. I keep saying when I'm editing my podcast, I should just put it in then because I don't need to be like speaking or anything then. I'm just like on my laptop, you know, so it doesn't matter. But I just keep forgetting. So yeah, anyway, if I do try it, I will let you know. But that's just like the crazy power of an electric toothbrush is how white they make your teeth, and I couldn't recommend them more. Next up, straight into bed. I am actually not a pajama sleeper. I'm a nude sleeper. And I never used to be, right? Something in my body has changed because when I was in like secondary school, I was constantly cold. I had, what do you call that thing in your hands where your circulation's really, like, is it Raynaud's? Raynaud's, yeah, that's it. Where you have no circulation in your hands, right? My hands used to constantly either be blue or red. Like, they were never a normal color because, and they were always like, I couldn't feel them. I couldn't even use my hands to write properly in class sometimes in like really cold days in the winter. I used to have to go to classes early to make sure I could try and get a seat by the radiator. Or if it was like a class where there was already pre-planned like seats, I literally would ask the teacher, please, can I sit beside the radiator? Like, look at my hands. It was that bad. And I was just constantly known as that girl that was always really cold. I would literally wear full-on ski thermals under my school uniform. I was constantly frozen. And like, teachers would ask you to take your blazer and scarf off in class, and I was literally like, no, please, don't make me do it. Like, I would sit there huddled up with my scarf wrapped around me twice. I was a cold, cold girl. But something has changed in my body recently. I do not feel the cold half as much anymore. Not only do I not wrap up in the way I used to. Like, I can't remember the last time I wore like thermal layers or anything like that. But I also can fully sleep in the nude now and not be cold. And that's nothing to do with like the heating or anything either. Like, nothing has changed, do you know what I mean? Whereas once I used to go to bed with fluffy socks, fluffy pajamas, and a fluffy dressing gown, on top of that with a hot water bottle at my feet and on my belly. Like, that's the extremes I used to go to and how cold I used to be as a child. And now I am like the complete opposite. Like, my boyfriend says I'm like a little hot water bottle because I'm always a million degrees anytime he touches me. How you go from one extreme to another, I don't know. It baffles me, honestly. I don't know what happened in there, but something definitely happened. Something went on. I'm a pajamas girly in the sense that I love my nice pajamas and I love wearing them at nighttime or like getting up in the morning, Saturday morning, putting on your pajamas, going down, making brunch. Like, I love pajamas in that sense, but I hate sleeping in them. They get tangled in my legs. They make me too warm. I'm a bit weird about like the feel of things on my body sometimes, and I just like the feeling of your nice like silky sheets on skin and nothing getting in the way of that. If anyone has any explanations though for why that could be, like why I could have such a drastic change, please tell me. Any medics out there, anyone that has any knowledge within that field, please tell me, because I don't understand what went on there. Anyway, get into bed. Now, this is when I'm most prone to falling down the TikTok hole. We all know it well. The nighttime curse. The TikTok spiral. Okay, so the thing is with my phone, I actually probably should have mentioned this earlier on in the evening routine. So I have my phone set to, now I really recommend everyone does this. Your phone has so many features and I feel like some of them can be really beneficial and we just don't use them. Like, why not use these things to your advantage, you know? So I have my phone set to go on nighttime mode at 9 p.m. Now what that means is that I don't get any notifications. The brightness goes down. What else does it mean? I think there's less blue light or something in the screen so that it's not as stimulating if you do pick it up. It also comes up at 9 o'clock to say, reminder, 9 p.m, like time for wind down, sleep at 10. I have it set to do that, to tell me to sleep at 10. And then at 10 it goes into sleep mode or something. Or maybe sleep and night mode are the same thing. Maybe I'm just making this up. I don't know. Anyway, it definitely comes up with a little notification at 9 to say reminder bedtime at 10. And then my phone goes into night mode at 9 so that I don't get any notifications. Which is really good because then it means like unless you're specifically, say, waiting on a reply for someone, which you can still go in and like get the message if you are waiting on that, then you're not just like being constantly notified about stupid things that literally don't matter. Now, I do usually pick it up when I get into bed just to see that I don't have any, say, messages for, like, someone wanting to do something tomorrow or, I don't know, a message from my mom about something. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like a quick check to make sure I don't need to reply to anything before I go to bed. But it's not like a go through all my notifications, go through every app kind of check. And I also will, like, check to see what time my alarm's set for the next. Usually it's set for the same time, but then I'll usually go in and change it depending on what my plans are for the next day. Now, at this point, my best piece of advice is to not open the TikTok app, or if you're like a Reels person or a YouTube Shorts, is to not open the app in the first place, because these apps are designed to keep you on them. The algorithm is designed for you to really enjoy that and to find it funny or to find it really engaging. And you know what I mean? It's designed to keep you sucked in there for hours. That is the whole purpose of these apps. So the second you click on it, you're mustard. Like, the hardest thing is then to get yourself back out of it. The best thing you can do for yourself is to not click on it in the first place. That decision is a lot easier than the decision of pulling yourself away from it once you're already engorged in it. So if you can try and think of that little tip every time you go to do it, just be aware of the fact that you're wanting to click on it and then think, no, you know what? This decision is easier now to not click on the app than to have to do this in an hour's time or 2 hours' time and pull myself away from it. This is easier said than done. If I'm on my own, I can very easily fall into the TikTok spiral. If my boyfriend's there, I won't even touch it. I'll just set my phone aside because I want to talk to him. And you know what I mean? You want to have that like nice quality time together. But because I've been really trying to work on my evening routine and my sleeping pattern and my morning routine and all of that recently, I've definitely been a lot better at doing this and just putting it down. And my go-to now is just putting it down and straight away picking up my Kindle so that I'm not like, I don't know. I feel like if you were to just put it down and then lie in bed, then you're going to be like thinking about the fact that it's sitting there with the possibility of you doing that. And we're all such addicts. Yeah, so to me, just like switching it straight away for something else, in this case, my book or my Kindle, it just makes it so much easier, and literally instantly you've forgotten about the fact that there's something else because you're engrossed in your book now. My goal at the minute is, well, I kind of set myself a little target of minimum 10 pages a day, but that usually always ends up being about 20 pages a day. I do kind of tend to aim more for the 20 mark. But also if I'm like really knackered, like 10 pages is also good too. Like that's just a little goal for myself. There are times I'll keep on reading till the point that I literally can't keep my eyes open anymore, and in which case, amazing, set the book down out like a light. However, there definitely are times where, let's say I'll read 20 pages to the end of the chapter and then decide, you know, that's a good place to finish. I don't want to start a whole new chapter there that's going to take me potentially another half an hour. So I'll put this aside, but I'm just not quite there yet. My eyes aren't rolling back in my head. Like I very much could stay up later if I wanted to. And at this point, I find the best thing for me is to put on a relaxing podcast. Now, this also probably ties into the whole thing where I was saying a podcast helps me focus more on other things. I think my brain's just a bit all over the place sometimes. And like when I try and sleep, I honestly, no joke, have about 3 voices having conversations with themselves in my head. And it's not even like, see when I say this where I can't turn my thoughts off at night and I can't shut down and I need a podcast to focus on, I don't mean that in a deep way. I don't mean that where I'm sitting there thinking about all these deep things and like stressing myself out or like having negative self thoughts or anything like that. Not at all. If anything, I'm having the most ridiculous, unimportant, nothing conversations with myself, like about the most mundane, stupid things, random people like popping into my head I haven't seen in years, just thinking like, oh, I wonder how they are. And I can't describe it to you. Like, it's honestly the most mind-blowing thing. I don't know why my brain decides to get on like that at nighttime. I'll be having full-on made-up conversations in my head. I'll be like thinking of random old jobs I used to have, or like, no, guys, like, I can't even describe it. When I say it's the most unimportant, nothing thoughts, I genuinely mean it. Like, it's not me spiraling or anything over things. Now, there definitely has been periods in my life where it's been a bit more, like, spirally and, like, overthinking-y. But now I'm very much at a place where it's not like that at all. But I do need to shut that off regardless of it not being a negative spirally kind of way. So the best way I find for that is to put on a podcast. Now, I definitely cannot put on like a podcast that I find really funny or really engaging. For example, I'm not going to go and stick on My Therapist Ghosted Me and be giggling to myself in bed. Like, that's going to keep me up for another 2 hours. I'm going to want to listen to another 3 episodes after it. I'm not going to stick on like Giggly Squad or something and again just be like chuckling away to myself. So it's got to be something where the voice is soothing. It's a very calming, low energy, not to say boring, not at all, but you know what I mean? Just those podcasts that, and the voice just helps you kind of drift off, and what they're saying isn't necessarily boring. It's just not like, you're just not laughing. It's not getting your energy high. It's not getting you like in that mood. It's letting you kind of rest and go off into this other world. And the best I know everyone has their comfort podcast for this kind of thing. I've actually got loads of people messaging me to say that I am not for them, which is so weird to me because like the thought of my voice being in your ear as you're going to sleep is honestly the most bizarre thing when I'm like trying to drown that out for myself. I remember 1 year in Spotify Wrapped, someone sent me their, you know, when it says like your top podcast, how many minutes you've listened to of it. And hers was honestly like 100,000 minutes or something. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed to send you this, but it's because I put your podcast on every night I go to sleep and it ends up playing for like the whole time I'm asleep. I was like, babe, have you not heard of the sleep timer on Spotify? So yeah, anyway, my go-to for this is the Huberman Lab, Andrew Huberman's podcast. He is a scientist. I think he's an academic at Harvard. And he basically like breaks down a lot of the science to make it more accessible and digestible for normal folk like us. Yeah, his episodes are really interesting though. Like when I say he's my go-to for falling asleep, I also do listen to him during the day as well. I highly recommend his podcast. I honestly find pretty much every episode very interesting. And they're like 2.5 hours long, sometimes like more than 3 hours long. So the fact that I can listen to someone talk sciencey shit for 3 hours long, that's saying something. His voice to me is just the perfect tone. Like it's very calming and soothing. I tend to not like American accents so much in podcasts, but for some reason I do like his. It's not a very strong American accent. And also I think because he is talking about sciencey things and you're not like, you know, sat up, engaged, thinking, oh my God, what's next? Or like laughing along with him. It's not like that at all. It's just very easy to drift off to. And I usually just set the Spotify sleep timer. I can kind of tell how long it's going to take me. Like there's times I know I'm going to be asleep within the next 5 or 10 minutes, in which case I'll just set it on the 15 minute one. But there's sometimes I know I'm like, no, I'm pretty wide awake here. This is going to take me a wee while. So I'll set it on the half an hour one. But usually it doesn't really take me past half an hour of listening to Huberman and I'm off. But yeah, if you're like me, where you really find it hard to like shut those voices out at night, I really recommend trying what I just said, that combination of putting your phone away, reading, and then the calming podcast. Because I think if you do the podcast without the reading, you can still be quite awake. So then you're actually just listening along to the podcast. But then if you do the reading without the podcast, well, for me, I'd have to keep on reading till I literally can't keep my eyes open, which could actually end up taking quite a while. Do you know what I mean? But I find that combination of the two just works really well for me. And also, not only that, but making sure that I read a minimum of 10 pages every night, which, as I said, usually ends up being 20, 30 plus, has been making me get through books so quickly. And it's kind of turned like going to bed into this really kind of nice time where I'm like, yeah, I get to wind down, I get to read my book and I get to listen to this podcast or whatever. Like it's not so much like, oh God, here we go again. I'm going to struggle to fall asleep for the next 2 hours. Anyway, I think no matter what you do, you just want to make it your own little ritual. You want to make it your nice, safe, calming space for this ritual that you've created that helps you wind down, that's actually enjoyable to you, that you look forward to. Like you look forward to having that time with yourself at night because you know it's your safe space. Do you know what I mean? So just trial and error these things, see what works for you. I know some people swear by magnesium if you struggle to stay asleep once you get asleep. So that could be another thing you could add into your nighttime routine. I personally have no struggles with staying asleep once I get to sleep, or if I do happen to wake up, say my cat is scratching or something at the bottom of the bed, I find it pretty easy to go back to sleep after that. So that's not really an issue I encounter. I know lots of people find like yoga nidra really helpful. That's like the yoga that kind of sends you off into a dreamlike state. Loads of people do that before bed and then they kind of are in the kind of meditation state and then find it a lot easier to go to sleep after that. So maybe give that a go. God, when am I ever going to get back into meditation? I swear I've been talking about that since I got back from India. When was that? 2 summers ago now? God, who knows? Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget that my DMs are always open for your dilemmas and your questions for the bonus episode. Also, voice notes are strongly encouraged. I would love to include your voices on the bonus episode. But yeah, if you enjoyed this week's episode, remember to give me a little 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it on your Instagram stories and your TikToks, which I've been loving seeing recently. As always, thank you all so much for your continued love and support. It means the absolute world to me. I will speak to you in next week's episode. Bye.